Today we are privileged to have our own father. Please help me welcome our father, Apostle Aaron Osai. Your life will never be the same again. Something is happening already. Happened already.
City of Kaduna. The engine of my Prado Jeep knocked in Kefi. And I knew that this meeting was a meeting of destiny indeed. So I come into your midst tonight to find out what Satan was so afraid of. You know, material things will perish with the earth. We navigate to seek where the purpose of God is. And we come to Kaduna tonight to seek that which is upon his heart that makes Satan so terrified. In a moment of time, can you make contact with heaven and say, Lord, it doesn't take eternity for you to do that which is eternal. So stretch forth your hand and accomplish your counsel. It is a convocation where holy men assemble to understand the frequency of their God. It is a place where names are changed. A man comes in as Jacob and he goes out as Israel. He finds his significance, finds his bearing in God. He receives power to manifest his masculinity by the Spirit of grace. As astronauts explore God, explore space, we are called to explore God. There is something in God that we always need to discover in order for us to have the rank to prosecute destiny. So we come to Kaduna in search of your heartbeat, in search of that which we intend to do. Oh God, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified, oh God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Sunday night will be a healing night. So if there are sick people in the city, and if you have sick people that you cannot bring into the meeting, just load your phone with credit so that when we're praying, you can call the person and connect the person. And there'll be digital miracles. There'll be all kinds of things. Let us pray. Once again, we thank you for bringing us into the city of Kaduna. Thank you for the functionaries on ground here, laboring to extend the frontiers of your kingdom. Align with their prayers. I align with the desires that you have placed upon their heart for this land. And I partner with them this moment as I partner with heaven And I ask, O God, that it might please you to stretch forth your hand and do your good pleasure in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We'll do this just because it's the first night. I will not take your time. We're already out of the range of time on our schedule. All right. So please turn your Bible quickly to the book of Romans chapter 1. We'll just take a shot from the Word of God. We'll take a shot from the Word of God. Just a shot. Just a shot. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Every functionary of the kingdom of God is called to be separated unto something. The thing unto which God calls you to be separated unto is going to be the basis of the kind of wisdom that God makes available to you. And for Paul, he was called to be separated unto the gospel of God. What's the meaning of the gospel of God? It means that in God, there are various strata of good news. You need to know the good news that is inherent in God, because it is going to be the basis of our hope, our expectation. And so I came to tell you about an aspect of the gospel of God, the good news that is inherent in God. That's the adventure that we are going to be exploring during the course of these 3 days as we contemplate the counsel of God together as a company. Having established that foundation, I would like to introduce another scripture so that you understand the scope of our navigation. Because as astronauts explore space, we are called to explore God. So turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 33. We'll take a verse, which is verse 22. Isaiah chapter 33. We'll take verse 22. Don't forget our emphasis. What we are trying to explore is the good news that is inherent in God. The good news concerning God. If you can, take away that noise. Now, this is part of the gospel of God. This is part of the good news that is in God. He said, for the Lord is our judge. That's number one. The Lord is our lawgiver. That's number two. The Lord is our king. That's number three. And the combination of all of these expressions, what does it produce? Salvation. There are dimensions of salvation that God produces in different offices, in different capacities. You know, we said that Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. There is a good news that is in God. The first layer of this good news is the revelation of the fact that God is a competent judge, God is a competent king, and God is a competent legislator. He is a competent personality of the judiciary. Is a competent personality of the executive, is a competent personality of the legislature. And when he begins to operate in these three capacities, either individually or corporately, what he's trying to do is to work out a pathway for our salvation. And we're going to do a brief Bible study to understand this concept that I'm trying to introduce to us. If you are here, say amen. Now, it's a very complex journey, so I will want you to lend me your attention, and we will be doing this for like 35 minutes before we go to the practical aspect of this presentation. What I'm trying to do is the theoretical aspect to update your software. You know, when you're using a software, and the publishers, the makers of the software decide to publish an update, an upgrade. What you need to do is to download the update so that your software will no longer be termed as obsolete. The reason for which we do Bible study again and again is for upgrades. The publishers, by reason of divine revelation, have published an update in the technology. And if you refuse to download it, you become obsolete. Just like some of you are the 1982 model of yourself, because you have not been updating. May the Lord help us. So we are trying to establish an update of the software so that we can be operating on current spirit technology. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. All right, just to take you through a walk around, I would like to introduce a scripture quickly, which is the book of Luke chapter 18. When we consider the subject of prayer, it is needful for us to understand that there are three steps, there are three layers of prosecuting prayer. You can prosecute prayer having God as your father. Alright? Oh my, you're not with me. Okay, because you're not with me, I will shut that down. Let's go back to the scripture. There are three levels in which you can prosecute prayer. The first level is prosecuting prayer having God as your father. And there are several issues that are associated with that reality. If God gives us permission, tomorrow morning when we come for Bible study, we will look at those aspects. You can prosecute prayer having God as your friend. You can also prosecute prayer having God as a judge. So it is the third aspect of prayer prosecution I want to bring to our notice. And we need to understand that there is a justice system that exists in the realm of the spirit. And this justice system determines the affairs of everything that is a product of God's intentional creation. Are you still with me? Do you still remember what happened in the Garden of Eden when God was taking Adam on the guided tour through the garden? When they came into the midst of the garden, God told Adam, he said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, the position of the justice system of heaven is that upon your partaking of this fruit, you will die. That's a revelation of the layer of justice that is established in the invincible realm that has jurisdiction and implication in the natural realm. Many believers do not understand that the content of the justice system that is in the invisible realm has great effect on your life in the natural. That was one of the lectures that God was trying to administer to Adam, but he did not listen. He became a victim of that justice system. And because God had scheduled the life of man to evolve on the basis of inheritance, every man that came from the loins of Adam had his status before God. Do you understand that? Until God, operating as a lawgiver, decided to change the premise of that bondage and to create an outlet for the possibility of salvation. When God operates in these three levels, what he's trying to work out in your life is salvation. Okay, are you there? Luke 18, are you there? Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So what is the lesson of this parable? The lesson of this parable is that we, men, humankind was designed. By design, we were created as objects of prayer. We were created as beings of priesthood. In fact, by design, you ought always to pray according to your design, according to the way you were made, even though that is not the case with most of us here. It means you are not operating according to the script, the blueprint of your design. This is the design schedule that men ought always to do what? To pray and not to faint. Second thing I'd like you to notice from this first presentation is that there is nothing like prayerless in the Bible. Have you found the scripture that recognizes the word prayerless? Because the opposite of prayerful is not prayerless. The opposite of a praying man is what? It's a fainting man. You are either praying or fainting. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And just in case you are fainting, you are a victim of circumstances, you are a victim of situations. So this parable was written in order to teach us another dimension of the prosecution of prayer. And so let's attend to it and see the scope, the layout. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Please be fast, many people. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. This is the lesson, another lesson. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Let me stop there for now. The scenario here is the scenario of a judge. That's the metaphor, the crown metaphor in that particular presentation, trying to give us an insight into the fact that God is a judge. And there are dimensions of prayer that must articulate that status that God sustains in order for us to find the necessary scope of victory that we seek from the hand of God. Is that clear? Second scripture, before we start the lesson. Second scripture. Meanwhile, the requirement for you, are you here? You know the lesson. The lesson started, and the lesson was men ought always to pray and not to faint. Is that the lesson? That's the reason for which the parable was written in the first place. The application of the parable, which is verse 7, it says, shall not God avenge his own elect? That is to say, that the metaphor, judge, God satisfies, God operates in the capacity of a judge. Says, shall not God avenge his own elect? What is the requirement for God to avenge on your behalf? According to verse 7. You are not following. According to verse 7, what's the requirement? This is the requirement. This elect that he will avenge, as such as cry day and night unto him. Do you cry day and night? You cry day and night unto him? Then you cannot engage this dimension of God's reality. He will avenge them speedily, the Bible says. Because there are dimensions of prosecuting prayer that you will never enter into and never experience its blessedness if you don't accept the fact that you were designed as a creature of prayer. And part of the benefits that you are going to get operating that way is that because you cry day and night, God will be under pressure to avenge you. Now, second scripture, quickly before I begin the lesson. I want to show you we don't have time. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, just to give you an idea. God's courtroom. Just to give you an idea of God's courtroom. Then I will show you how the politics of justice, judgment, and equity manipulates destiny upon the face of the earth. And why the devil is called an accuser. And what potential, what capacity does the devil have in his designation as an accuser. And so you will find out, if you don't fulfill the requirement that I just showed you in verse 7, you will find out that in some legal issues before the Lord, your largesse empowers your enemy. Alright, this is the status of God's throne in the sanctuary. I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the ancient of days did sit. Oh my. I'm supposed to read from verse 7, I believe. Then you have a good layout Yes, okay. 9 and 10. And I beheld the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And the fiery steam issued forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. This is a scenario. This is the kind of glory that is associated with the justice, judgment, and equity dimension of God that is sustained in the heaven. It is something that you cannot ignore. You cannot ignore those dynamics. And it is not as if it is when people have died and believers have resurrected. That's when the judgment seat will now become operational. Justice, judgment, and equity goes on right now in the sanctuary of God, and there's a massive justice system that is established in God's lair, and I want to open your eyes to it in a moment of time. First of all, I may need to take you to the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 8 to 12. To bring you up to date with the way the proceedings of this court. I need to bring you up to date. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? For the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Give me 11 and leave it there. Because 11 is the judgment that came from that court. I will need to expose you to the proceedings of that court before I show you the kind of judgment that issues from that court. First of all, if we were using the Nigerian constitution, there were only two kinds, there are only two kinds recognized witnesses that the Nigerian constitution provides for. The Nigerian constitution provides for either an expert witness or an eyewitness. An eyewitness is someone that was present at the event, the scene of the event. His testimony in court can tilt the pendulum of justice. An expert witness is somebody like a doctor, preferably a doctor of internal medicine, that runs an autopsy on a dead body. He can bring a testimony to court on the strength of his competence in his profession, and that can also tilt the scales of justice and judgment. But unfortunately for Cain, because there was no expert witness on ground, and there was no eyewitness on ground, so when he was cross-examined, where is Abel, your brother? He thought that it was a court of mortals. And so he answered the way you will answer in a magistrate court in Nigeria. He said, am I my brother's kid? Because if it were a magistrate court, they would not have had anything on him, because there is no eyewitness and there is no expert witness. But unfortunately for him, the constitution he was run, he was operating, the court he was operating under had a constitution that could accept the witness of blood. Blood was competent witness in that court. Whereas Cain never knew that blood has an utterance that is so tangible, it can stand in the dock and bring about a witness and place a demand on the justice system that is in that layer. He had no knowledge of that. And the fact that he didn't have knowledge of it did not affect the proceedings. I know many of you here don't believe, don't know that there's a justice system that is established in the layer of God. Today we are going to use that system, you will see, in the practical session. That justice system is going to do something here. And you know, in the introductory scripture we used, the Bible reveals that God is our king, God is our judge, God is our lawgiver. And when he sits in either or all of these capacities, what does he come to do? He comes to save us. Are you here? In order to clear Cain's doubt that he was not sitting before mortals, the case file was brought, the case file that was left with the register of the court was retrieved. And this was the content, verse 11. And now thou art cursed from the earth. Oh. Wait. Case file. Now thou art cursed from the earth which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. So what was in the case file was that the blood of Abel, there was a portion of ground that received it. Even that portion of ground, I believe, he said you are cursed from the earth. Which the curse began from that part of the ground that opened his mouth to receive Abel's blood. Now, this man is not aware of the fact that there are infrastructures in the visible realm that can testify against an individual that is in the dock in a court of the invincible status. He said, you are cursed from the earth. And the implication of this curse is that there is no territory upon the face of the earth that Cain can establish his destiny. Have you ever seen a seed that there is no ground on earth that you can plant it for it to grow? That was how the destiny of Cain was after the verdict that came from the judge in this case. Cain was going to be a fugitive. He will come to Zangokata and he will try to settle there. If he plants something, the thing will not grow. Anything he tries to establish, no ground on earth will be able to accept his destiny. So the best he can be is a wanderer. And that status was put in place by a court. Is that clear? Let me give you an idea. Quickly. Because of time. I don't have time. My scripture for the night is 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 is my scripture. 1 Peter. There's an activity of Satan that I want us to end this night by reason of that court. See, the Bible says, be sober. It says, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can we analyze this scripture a little? The word adversary. I'm interested in the word adversary. Let me look it up quickly. I'm interested in that word. Antidikos. The word antidikos in Greek language is an opponent in a lawsuit. So I'm just trying to bring context and perspective to this scripture. An opponent where? In a lawsuit. Now, so the Bible calls the devil, the reason for which we are enjoined to be sober and be vigilant is because you have an opponent in a lawsuit. And this opponent goes around like a roaring lion. It means he uses the instrument, he uses the approach of intimidation. And the reason why he uses the approach of intimidation is so that he can find who among us he can devour. So it means that the roaring lion can transform and become a devouring lion. And the platform that he has to achieve this intention is being an opponent in a lawsuit. Do you get that? Now, when I said that this, our adversary, he's walking about, means he's mobile. he moves from one place to the other. You know, when I said that, most of you felt his movement is only linear. That means he moves from Kaduna to Zaria to Kano. That's not all the possible hope of movement this fella has. This guy can also move into the past. This one. Okay. Let me give you a scenario quickly. Do you still remember when in the book of Job chapter 1, when the Bible says that a day came when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord and Satan came with them? Still remember? Now God asked Satan, how has it been? Where are you coming from? He said, I've been walking up and down to and fro the earth. The word walk in that scripture is halak. Halak is the same kind of walk that God was telling Joshua that wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I'm going to give you as a possession. Halak is the walk of priesthood that makes them dominate and take over territory. And he said, that's what I've been doing, and I've covered all the earth except the province that Job was established as the warden. It was only his territory I could not halak, because you had set up a hedge around him. There is a barricade that you have spiritually enforced around him, so it is impossible for me to halak around Job. In this is halakhic. He had visited your family too. He had, you know, when the devil was questioned, he did not say, okay, let me check my file. He had Job's data in real time. And he downloaded evidences, he downloaded intelligence about Job and about his activity just in one meeting. The reason is because of his halakhic enterprise. In that enterprise, he visited your family too. In that enterprise, he visited your home. In that enterprise, he visited. Do you know? Are you with me? It was in that same encounter that the accuser now brought a matter. And the accuser said, in my own experience, walking around, Job does not serve you for nothing. It's because you have put a hedge around him. Meanwhile, this activity he is deploying now is his status as a lion. It's his status as an accuser of the brethren. Are you with me? Where is he accusing them? In the court of heaven. There are activities that take place in the court of heaven that have grievous effects upon you in the natural, in your business, in your workplace, in your family. And those activities are taking place in the court of heaven. Now, you see, what I discovered is that believers of this day are totally ignorant of the proceedings of that court. They are just victims of what issues from that court. You see, God's status in that court is the status of justice. And I'm going to explain that to you in a moment of time. Because I need to demand justice for some people here today. I know you don't know what justice is, but I'm going to demand it for you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And so, the devil brought the argument that Job was serving him because of the material things that God has given him. And if God is sure that Job is not serving him because of material things, let him remove the hedge. Then we'll test him. Meanwhile, it was God himself that advertised Job before Satan. Say, since you've been going around, did you by any means see Job? Oh, you are not with me. I know most of you won't like this kind of advertisement that God should say, Bola, did you see Bola? Satan even forgot Bola, but it was God that recorded. Are you with me? And so God now accepted, because God was sure of his product. Just like when Jesus was raised and he became 30 years and went for baptism under John the Baptist. the next assignment after that public accreditation that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased was to go to the wilderness and be tested of the devil. It's the pathway of sons. When you arrive maturity, one of the things that God does is that he brags before the devil about you and he exposes you to the devil's trial in the court of heaven. I know you don't like trials, but if you don't like trials, you cannot gain rank. You see, there's a difference between anointing and rank. If you keep in the place of prayer and you fast and pray, after a while you find some anointing, some divine abilities will be given unto you. But there's something called rank. It is that rank you are going to negotiate. You are going to use to negotiate for a territory, like a senator before God, the way Abraham did. I hope you know Nigeria needs saving, needs salvation. It's the job of men of rank. It's to men of rank that God bequeaths territory. Just like for Abraham, God willed the earth to him. Indeed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. If any family is blessed, it is out of the content of the superfluous blessing I made available to Abraham that he found a fraction. It's only to men of stature that God gives territory. It's the way of sons, rank. That's how sons institute and establish the kingdom of God. But in order for you to have that rank, you will have to be tested not by God, you'll be tested by the devil. And all of these things are orchestrated within the context of the justice system of heaven, the court of heaven. God was the one that regulated the extent of attack that Satan brought to Job. Do you realize that the Bible says that even though God is not, he doesn't tempt you with evil, but in every temptation, what does he do? He doesn't allow you to be tempted much more than you can bear. That means God knows your dynamics. He knows your length, your breadth. He knows your tensile strength. He knows your tensile strength capacity. And he will not allow you to be tempted much more than you can bear. And in the midst of the temptation, the Bible says that God, who is the regulator of temptation, will yet create a way of escape. That means if you yield in the midst of the pressure, you will find the open window that God allowed in the entire network of pressure. It is when you are quiet enough in your trust for God and you can find that window, an occasion, an escape, that you are given rank. Alright. And I will tell you the power of rank in a moment of time. Amen. God said, you can do what you want to do, but don't touch his life. So there are three levels of divine protection. One is divine protection over your property. Second is divine protection over your household. The third is divine protection over your life. Are you with me? Those are the three concentric circles of covering. The presence of God over your life covers your property, it covers your household, it covers your body, then it covers your life. Do you understand that? So those are four levels, sorry. Your what? Property, then what? Your household, then your body before your life. And the only aspect of Job that the regulator decided to protect from the devil's onslaught was Job's life. It means Job's property, Job's household, and Job's body was within attack range. And all of this was happening from where? No, you are not with me. From where? From the court. So Job may not even know that court activity is responsible for his current situation. And because of his ignorance of what is happening, he can even curse God, as his wife was recommending. Because the first onslaught from the kingdom of darkness that took place was on what? His property. Cattle. Houses. Things. Then the second was what? His household. Children. Then the third was what? His body. It's not sickness that kills, it's death that kills. Are you with me? So those three levels of protection was withdrawn from the life of Job on the strength of a court session. What God knows is that if Job survives and Job refuses to curse God, he will be given more rank. Are you with me? You know how the story ended, so I don't need to continue. I'm just doing this to establish. Now you believe that there's a court. Huh? Alright, let me show you how the accuser uses that court against us. 2 Samuel chapter 21 verse 1 to 9. If you get that one this night, I'll be closed. Then we'll go to the practical session. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, "It is for Saul, for his bloody house, because he slew what? The Gibeonites." Let me explain. You know, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, how many of you still remember it? It says, be sober. What did it say again? It says, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, he is walking about seeking whom he might, what? And I told you that his motion is not just from east to west. His motion can also be from present to past. So what happened here is that 700 years before David, in the days of Joshua, because Joshua refused to inquire of the Lord about the status of the Gibeonites and he entered into a covenant with them, God, who happens to be a covenant-keeping God, in his eyes, the covenant he had with the Gibeonites was binding. 70 years before David became king. Are you with me? First is 700 years. The covenant was 700 years. The offense was 70 years before David became king. Saul, wanting to show that he had zeal for God, went and killed the Gibeonites. 3 years into David's rule as king, there was a famine. And because Israel was heavily covenanted, it was illegal for Israel to have a famine. So this king was troubled and he went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord gave him insight about the status of the justice system that was playing out against Israel. Are you with me? He said, Saul went and killed the Gibeonites, and the covenant that Israel has with the people of Gibeon has my seal upon it. So the accuser brought the seal to court. He said, will the God of the earth not do justice? Huh? Meanwhile, God in that court is a righteous judge. You are not with me. So he brought the seal and said, once upon a time, a covenant was entered into and you blessed it. And now, someone came and broke the covenant. Because this covenant has been broken, judgment must come from you in keeping with the covenant. And these things didn't happen in David's time. It was not David that went to kill you. Satan knew when Saul went to break the covenant, but Satan was looking for an occasion that was most suitable for him to press charges. You are not with me. You are not with me. Do you know some of you, your grandfather sold slaves? Sold slaves. And that was wickedness to humanity. And because of that loophole, Satan can travel into the past and find something. Are you with me? So that he can take to court.
And then you begin to see some symptoms in your life that is not consistent with the things that the Bible has said about your destiny. Even the visions that you see are contradictory to your current experiences. How many of you have ever experienced such a thing? Okay, nobody.
Oh, okay.
The ones that are for you, the ones that have experienced such contradiction and are expecting, trusting God for an intervention. That's why I came here. Are you with me? This reproach that came on Israel came through the activity of an accuser. And because God is a God that judges righteous judgment, he had to allow Satan have his way in that court. Meanwhile, what did David do? David did what? He inquired. Oh, you are not with me. David, you know, men ought always to pray. Have you inquired about what happened that gave the devil the advantage over your family? You have not done that. Because you don't believe that prayer is a critical part of the solution. And David decided to inquire of the Lord. And what did the Lord tell him? The Lord downloaded the case file. The justice situation that was in the court of heaven was downloaded to David. Are you with me? That's not all. God will give you the case file and also tell you the things that you are supposed to do to remove the ground of legality that the devil is exploiting. And when the ground of legality is removed, the devil will have no authority in court. That's how we operate in that place. That's the kind of prayer we pray, considering God as a judge. The only prayer you know is our Father. You only know God as Father within the context of your prayer. That's why you are limited. There are some justice issues that God cannot put aside until adequate litigation is done based on the resources of the New Testament. Are you with me? David inquired of the Lord, and in the revelation that God gave David, the case file was downloaded. That's how I prayed for about my family, because I saw my grandfather at 110 years old. I saw him. He wasn't using a cane to walk, and he wasn't using glasses, and he had a straight back. But in my father's generation, they could not live more than 60. If you arrive 60 years, you have accomplished your life expectancy from the days of my father. Meanwhile, I saw my grandfather at 110 with a straight back. Straight back. He was praying to die, but death was far away from him. It's only spiritually intelligent people we know that something has happened in the justice sector that has influenced life expectancy. Are you with me? You will need more than tongues to deal with that matter. Because the power of the average Christian and the power of the youth congregation, the youth generation of Christians is speaking in tongues. But we have not learned how to engage in court affairs. Some of the bondages that bedevil people in this place this night are intertwined with justice issues, and the accuser has taken the name of your family to court, and darkness, a shadow, has been casted over the world. Are you still with me? And God, in his capacity as a judge, what he wants to achieve with that capacity is to bring salvation to you. But you must understand how to prosecute prayer within that context in order to remove the ground of legality that Satan had. For humankind, the ground of legality was the fruit we ate in Eden. And the position of the justice system of heaven was that we'll have to die. And that's why when redemption was coming to us, it came in form of a man who had the ability to die. And so in order for Jesus to prosecute redemption, he had to suspend his omni qualities, so that in every respect, he could be as much as a man as I am, giving him the premise to be able to satisfy the claims of divine justice and to remove the ground that the enemy had. It was an adventure in the court session, an adventure in court that took place on the cross. He said, now, John chapter 12, verse 30. 31 is the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world is cast out. And if, that's the first time Jesus was speaking something about the kingdom, and he was standing on an if I be lifted up. It means in satisfying the claims of divine justice, Jesus should not attempt to be the one to kill himself. Because if he does, it will not satisfy the claims of justice. So there's an aspect of the protocol, of the process, that someone else will have to do. If I be lifted up. Guess who lifted him up? The princes of this world. For the Bible reveals that if the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified. Because the death of Jesus was a legal statement that took away the ground that Satan had over humankind and the possibility of humankind entering into the status of justification. And justification means that you were declared righteous by the heavenly court. Man today has a possibility to enter into the platform of justification just because of the legal implication of that which Jesus did on the cross. And that which Jesus did on the cross is the great exchange. It's the basis for our argument in the court of heaven. Oh my God. We want to argue tonight, can you? Let me tell you how to argue quickly. My time is up. I want you to argue for your family. And if indeed your family, are you there? You don't know what will happen this night. Camineso Capula. I was there in Malawi, a place given to darkness. I was there. Everything speaks demons, death. It was in the second day of the meeting when I began to speak about the local witchcraft that was in the territory. 13 ladies in the congregation stood up and they rent their garment and became naked and were coming to kill me on the pulpit. I've seen people that are possessed. I've never seen the one like Malawi. Malawi. Meanwhile, what gave the devil the effrontery to operate with that level of aggression was because there were legalities that supported the activity. An evangelist can come and preach to a congregation and minister Jesus to them. But a prophet will come and not just minister Jesus to them, but find how to go to court on their behalf, to liberate their land from the legalities that have kept them in darkness. There is a higher dimension that God calls us to function. Our nation is under a curse. Have you not seen it? Nothing works. There's no wisdom to our leaders. It's as if they are covered with blindfold. Have you not seen it? How many times has the naira fallen in 1 month? We need a computer, a digital computer, to calculate pump price in Nigeria. Friends, this is a court matter. It's a court session. It's a court matter. It seems to me that our nation has been sold by reason of a very complicated argument. So much so that darkness is coming to be an indigene of our communities. The time has come for the church of Jesus to learn the ways of the courts of heaven, just like Zacharias did. And you are going to stand as a representative, because our console is Jesus himself. When you come to Mount Zion, there are many features that are domiciled in that place designed for your argument before the court of heaven. When you come to Mount Zion, you come there with strong reasons. Because whereas the devil has no right to put you in bondage, he may have a reason to put you in bondage. Redemption has made it illegal for the devil to bring bondage on your life. But Satan will move like a roaring lion. He can move into the first generation. He can move into the second generation. He can move into the third generation just to find a case that is sufficient to present before the court so that darkness can be opposed. But the Bible says, David, inquire. We need men that have ears to hear the counsel of God. Men that will rise up and inquire about Nigeria. The time for our liberty has come, but we are yet in bondage. Just like it was for Israel. A time for liberty had come, but bondage was staring Daniel in the face until he decided to set his face to seek God. And the moment he knelt down in the fast, angels were dispatched from heaven and Gabriel was kept in prison. We never knew that there was an angelic prison in the heavens until Daniel prayed. We never knew that there was an escape route built into the belly of the Red Sea until Moses came with his staff. What will your life reveal? What mystery will your life bring to the table that will become the basis for the knockout of the devil in your family? We gain ascendancy tonight. And we want to make a procession to the court of heaven. We want to, first of all, before I cry for you, let us cry for Nigeria. A land that flows with milk and honey, now turned into a place of darkness. Businesses have died. Investors have left the land. It is as if there is something that kills in the landscape. We inquire of heaven. That our judge might look upon the labors of our heroes past. The intercession of men like Bar Elton. Intercession of men like Idahosa. The covenants that have been established in the spirit concerning the survival of Nigeria as a nation. We make demands on heaven. The state of Nigeria is the state of an obituary. Did the Lord not say that saviors will come out of Zion? When will he that brought deliverance to the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali visit our land with great light? For men ought always to pray and not to faint. Celebros que file, come in silamo capaita, cupesketonesi, premi compando cosila, precotene ne compas putamala. Did you not say that if my people who are called
by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that I will hear from heaven. Did you not say that you will forgive our sin and heal the land? Did you not say that no man shall be able to stand before us all the days of our life? Now we see an evil under the sun. Servants ride on horseback and princes walk on foot. A generation that can hear their God, a generation that can move the hand of God, a generation whose prayers can change the pendulum of justice. The Bible says that they stop the mouth of lions. This lion that has been going around your family looking for whom to devour. There is a lion crawling from generation to generation in your family, looking for whom to devour. Oh, we seek sons and daughters galvanized by sufficient spiritual intelligence to put darkness to flight. In Jesus' name. Listen. Before I pray for you, listen. Listen. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord. If we lack God's presence, revelation, position held up in the Spirit, we will be disadvantaged. Part of the blessings that God will give us tonight is to open our spiritual ears. Because Jesus said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. These are the days of men that have an ear. There's so much fake in the body of Christ, so much activity, so much make-believe. But if you have an ear, you will not be part of the rat race. You will not be part of the drama. You will have a vital link to the government that issues from the third heaven. Your navigation upon the face of the earth will be like the transition of sons. How that God called Abraham from all of the Chaldees and never gave him an address of where he was sending him. Because what would determine that he gets to the destination was his faithfulness with God. To that man, every dream mattered. Every vision was part of the map. Every trance was part of the navigation system. Such a man cannot quarrel with God, because God will leave him in the open wilderness and the journey will cease. Can you ask God, give me ears that can hear you? Give me ears. For David inquired of the Lord. Give me ears to hear. Of Jesus. Listen, listen. I have 10 more minutes to finish. Listen. Now the Lord said he will do two things this night. First thing he will do is that if there is anyone among us here that cannot use his physical ear, he will open it up. Second thing, he also said he will open the spiritual ears too. So he will open physical hearing, then he will open what?
Spiritual.
Listen, just be quiet. If you are in this hall or you are listening online and maybe you have lost the use of one ear, one of your ears can't hear. I mean your physical ear now. One of your ears can't hear, or both of your ears, you are beginning to lose hearing. At whatever level, whatever degree, that you are losing hearing, either on one of the ears or two of the ears, just wave like this. Let me see. You have a challenge with one ear or two ears. We'll start from there. Right. So those of you, let me see. Wave again. Wave. All right. Okay, somebody up there. Can you take this finger, put it in the ear that cannot hear? Just seal it up. Totally. Then I'll pray for 5 minutes, for 7 seconds. Is it sealed up? All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits, be bound. Deafening spirits, come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. Deafening spirits, be bound. And come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Can you do me a favor? Use the other finger. Close the ear that hears very well. Now. And if you are close to them, close it. Close it with the finger. If you are close to them, help them test the ear that is open. Quickly.
If you are close to them, help them test. If you are close to them, help them test. If you are close to them, help them test. If you can hear, come up. If you are close to them, help them test. If they can hear, come up. If you can hear, come up. If you are close to them, you help them test. And if you can hear, come up. If you are close to them, you help them test. And if you can hear, come out. Now, Pastor Tena, can you please interview them? Let me be sure that we have a miracle. Just a brief interview. Please stay with me. We are still transmitting. The healing night is Sunday, don't worry. Today, we want men that can hear. Only those that can hear can manipulate court sessions. So if there's a problem with your hearing, the devil is going to manipulate you. He's going to gain mastery over you. The outline, the Bible study outline for discipleship has changed. If you cannot hear God, you cannot participate in the kingdom. You cannot receive instructions. You will not know when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away, and when to run. Yes? Have you checked them? Have you checked all of them?
Yes, we've checked the one so far.
Okay.
And this brother, since he was in GSS 1, uh-huh, hears this noise in his ear, the right ear.
Okay.
When the prayer was made, that noise ceased.
The noise
ceased. Now he hears properly.
Now, Pastor Turner, please, this, continue.
This is very remarkable.
I am looking for one person among these people. Sorry, okay? Just indulge me. Let me find the person that the Lord has sent me to. Yes?
She had a problem with one of her ears. She went to flush it, and then it migrated to the second ear.
Migrated to the second ear.
But now, the situation has been on ground for 2 years now.
For 2 years.
And this night, the situation was...
Okay, her ears, she can hear.
And that is the case. That is the case with all these other brethren. Different degrees of ear problem, arrested and blasted out this evening.
Now, interview this man for me. Interview this man. Yes, Pastor Tena, keep going.
This sister
here... we need 2 microphones. Please help me. Give him one. Yes, this sister.
This sister here had a challenge with her right ear also.
Right ear.
She couldn't hear.
For how many years?
For 2 years now.
2 years, couldn't hear.
And she said, you have to shout out for her to hear.
For her to hear.
Now I whispered into her ear, and she hears clearly.
She can hear. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
This brother was involved in an accident that took 3 lives immediately.
He was involved in an accident that took 3 lives.
And he inherited a brain injury from the situation.
Brain injury.
Lost his hearing.
Lost his hearing.
For 3 years. And after prayer was made, the ear was opened and he could see.
I hope you are not clapping for me. Can someone give it up for Jesus? Sunday is a healing night. So, don't worry. Things will happen in this Kaduna thing.
Amen.
Yes?
This is quite spectacular.
You know what? That my engine that knocked. There must be return on investment in the spirit. Shame to the devil. Yes?
This is quite spectacular because the air was locked completely, couldn't hear. As we were praying, he kept opening, bah, and he opened.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Yes?
It is exact. That is the ear problem with these 2 brethren had been healed of.
It has been healed of.
This one, his own problem, his own issue used to intensify whenever he's praying. The visitation usually comes at the place of prayer. When he's praying, definitely spirit will begin to molest him. But at the instance of the prayer that was said this night, the situation was chiefly arrested.
Chiefly.
This woman here, 10 years ago, somebody slapped her at her right ear. While you were praying, it opened.
Okay, so after they slapped her, she stopped hearing.
She even had to go through surgery.
She had to go through surgery
to correct the ear.
Oh my God!
But right now, as we were praying,
she can hear.
The ear opened.
This brother lost his hearing for 3 years ago.
Lost his hearing for 3 years.
And then you have to talk up to 2 or 3 times before he will be able to pick the signal you are communicating.
Oh,
and at the instance of the prayer this night, he has been healed.
He has been healed. Yes.
Our sister here, her right ear, for the past 20 years, sir.
20 years.
Couldn't hear clearly.
How many of you are 20 years old? Now, for as long as you have lived, somebody has been.
Right now, she's been healed, sir.
She's been healed.
To the glory of the Lord.
To the glory of God. Now, you see, power is not in the shout. Power is not in the length of the prayer. It's rank. It's rank. We need a generation of rank to destroy the curse that has overtaken our families and our nation. And tonight I declare war against darkness. The Lord will visit in these days. Oh my God, He will come. He will come.
Yes, sir. Sir, yes. This brother always moves around with a cutting board because this liquid comes out
of the ear.
Right now it's dry.
It's dry.
Check it.
Now listen. Before we ask the Lord to open people's spiritual ears, because that one is more difficult than this one.
Sir.
Oh. Yes.
You know, while you were praying, you were preaching, she couldn't even make meaning from what you were saying.
She was not hearing.
It was until you prayed the prayer and then her ear was open.
The ear opened.
The situation had been there for 2 years. And this brother also was trekking along the street one of the day and an insect invaded his nose.
Okay.
And it translated into ear problem.
Ear problem.
To the extent that he will be losing balance when he is walking. But this night, the situation has been arrested.
Now, listen. Stand up. The reason why I called you people out is because the Lord showed me that two among you will be His vessels. Father, those two that you want to choose by reason of this sign, the sign of healing, let your hand begin to descend on them. It's coming strong. It's coming so strong. It's coming so strong. It's coming strong. It's coming so strong. So strong. So strong. So strong. So strong. You see, the things I'm seeing, I can't say them because of time. Can't say them. Oh my God. Ah. Ah, He comes. He comes. He comes. He comes. He comes. He comes. With fire in His eyes. He comes. And it shall come to pass that this state called Kaduna will be free. This state, it will be free. Kaduna will be free. The Lord says from among us here, He will release a gift, and particularly 17 people will receive that gift. And this gift will be prophetic. Your ears to sense God will be open. You will begin to pick the transmissions of God. God will no longer be a story.
you will have literal encounters with God, and God will become real in your life. And so, Lord, I ask tonight that you might show me these 17 people that have found favor in your sight, that from my right hand side to my left hand side, show me 17 of them. Holy Ghost, 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 move. Yes, and you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Now, ushers, if you have counted them and they are 17, you let me know, I will stop. If you have counted them and they are 17, let me know, I will stop. Because the hand of God is still moving. I see a lady. I see a lady. You are wearing a garment that is black. And there is a release of the hand of God. So overwhelming. So overwhelming. That is coming upon you right now. It's coming so strong. It's coming so strong. I see you in the spirit.
Thank you, Father. Those of you standing here, can you just shake me and go back? Yes, shake me and go back. Shake me and go back. Shake me and go back.
Pray for you before I run away. Now, the ushers have not given me feedback. Listen. And I see the angel of the Lord. I see the angel of the Lord carrying a vase. A vase. There is light in the vase. And it's moving around the hall. And I discern in the spirit that there's one of us here. So many warfares around your family. And you've been praying, but praying amiss. And God wants to give you the gift of discernment of spirit, so that you can understand and you can prosecute the warfare effectively. And the hand of God descends upon you to empower you, so that grace will be released in your vessel. Oh! Ay, 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 ay. Kima solemo kompelani. Can we pray together as I bless you? Lord, let everyone that came into this building go back with a deposit. The instruments that we need, the endowment that we need to function in the court of heaven, I ask, oh God, that you release it upon every life. That even as we go home in our sleep, when we pray in the night, let commodities be distributed, be given. Let equipment be handed out. Let strange things begin to happen in the name of Jesus. Let all kinds of deliverances
begin to take place as they go home in the night. Let people see visions of deliverances for their families, deliverances for their lives, upliftments in the spirit. I ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus. He opens your eyes to see tonight. He opens your eyes to see. He opens your eyes to see. When you inquire of Him, you will hear His voice. Wisdom will speak to you. Wisdom will give you insight. Wisdom will come to your aid in the name of Jesus.
Ah, and when you are here, when you are there.